Morning, everyone. Today's Daf in the Dharma is Ayin Aleph. We start today at the Mishnah on the top of Ayin Aleph. I'm an Aleph. And the 10th parak of Nedarim. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the Daf. Daf is and within this 10th parak of Nedarim, we're talking about the topic of Hafaras Nedarim. Torah empowers both the father and or the husband, and sometimes it could be and, but the father and or the husband to be able to be made for another. She makes a neder, and the Torah empowers either one of them, or both, sometimes both of them, to annul the neder. That has been the topic of discussion since we began the perek, taking us back to Samach Zayin. So today in Daf, and today's Daf, Ayin Aleph, so the Gemara is going to introduce us to a Chiddush. But before we see the Chiddush of the Mishnah, so again, let's just reintroduce ourselves to the topic once again. So we know that the woman, when she is either a Ketan or she's an Ara, she's either before 12 years of age or she's in that bridge stage between being a minor and being an adult, and that is Nara. So from 12 to 12, usually it goes from 12 to 12 and a half, the stage of Nairus. So she's still under the jurisdiction of the father, and as such, when she makes a neder, the father can be made for her neder. The father has the ability to annul the neder. Once she becomes a bogeris, that's it. She leaves the domain, she leaves the rishus of her father, and obviously then her father no longer has the ability to be made for the neder. On the other hand, we also could talk in terms of her husband. In terms of her husband, so the husband marries her in two stages. Stage number one is what's called Erisin. Stage number two is Nisuin. At stage number one of Erisin, so the husband does not yet have the ability to be made for her neder. We'll get to the joint scenario in just a moment. And Erisin, the husband can be made for a neder, and then at Nisuin, at the second stage of marriage, so then for sure, then the husband can be made for her nedarim. Okay, and then of course there's what we've been discussing a lot over the course of this parak. And it's by far and away the more interesting and the more complicated scenario, and that is Nara Hamurasa. Nara Hamurasa is where she is still a Nara, which means she's still under the jurisdiction of her father. She's an Arusa. She's betrothed to her husband, which is the first stage of marriage. And so now she's under joint jurisdiction. She's both under the jurisdiction of her father and under the jurisdiction of her husband. Why doesn't the marriage remove her from the jurisdiction of her father? So like we've been saying time and again, because the only thing that totally removes her, the only two things going to remove her from the jurisdiction of her father, either number one, she's a Bogaris, or number two, Nisuin. Those are the only two things that remove her from the jurisdiction of the father. So over here, neither of those happen yet. She's still a Nara, so she's still under the jurisdiction of her father, and she's only an Arusa. She's not a Nisua. So therefore, she's still under the jurisdiction of her father. Good. And what does the Torah say? Well, the Torah doesn't say it clearly, and that's what we spent the first days of this parak learning. Really, the first day, no, first 2 days of the parak learning, is that we know the halacha is that in the scenario where she's an Ara Murasa, so only through the combination of the efforts of the annulment of the father and her husband, so then and only then is the neder going to be annulled. That is the discussion that we've been having for a good part of this parak, and that is the hafara of father and husband, who have the ability to be made for her neder. What we discussed a couple days ago, and we're going to be opening up the discussion once again today, is mechanically, how does it work? How does the combination of the hafara work? Is it Megiz Gaiz or is it Miklash Kalash? Again, just to review, because this is important information we're going to need. It's important information because, it's important information, just in terms of understanding hafara. Number two, we're going to see it come up again today's daf. So the two possibilities is Megiz Gaiz, which means that each partner is basically a 50% shareholder in the neder. She makes a neder, so her father and her husband both own 50% of that neder. And so therefore the father can be made for his 50%, the husband can be made for his 50%, and between the two of them, so then they're going to be made for 100%. Remember the Gemara earlier said, if this is the way to view it, so let's come up with a nafkamina. I'm not coming up with one. This is the Gemara's nafkamina. So let's say she made a neder, not to eat two kezesim, not to eat two olives, and then she was in the stage of Nara Murasa, and then she made this neder, and then one of the two heard about it and was mefer, so that was made for 50% of a neder, which means that 50% of the olives now is no longer subject to the neder. But that of course means that 50% of the olives are still subject to her neder. And so that means that if she ate both olives, so not knowing exactly which one is subject to the neder, but it doesn't matter, one of them is subject to the neder, and to which now she's going to be getting malchus. Okay, that's if you hold megas gaiz. The other way to view it mechanically is not megas gaiz, but rather miklash kalash. Miklash kalash means that the first one who was made for the neder of the two, of the father and of her husband, the first one weakens the neder, meaning it's not 50% ownership. Each one of them has the ability to be made for, but in this state where she is under dual jurisdiction, only through the combination of the two, first one weakens it, second one knocks it out. It's basically, I don't know how many of you follow boxing, but it's basically like, it's like a combination punch. It's like a 1-2, right? A jab, then you come across with the right. So the only through the two does the neder get weakened. Okay, this is it. Your two options. It's either Megas Gaiz or Miklash Kalish. So keep that in mind because that's going to come up later within today's daf. Okay? Adkan, that's just all a brief summary of the basic ideas that we've been discussing over the course of this 10th parak, and let's begin the Mishnah. We're in the Mishnah on the very top of Ayin Aleph Amud Aleph Nadra. So she makes a Nadra Vihi Arusa. And she's an Arusa. Okay, so we're back to the state of discussing a Nara Marasa where she now has, she's under dual jurisdiction. And then Niskarsha Baba Yam. And then what happens on that day is she has a gerushin, she has a divorce. Because remember, we've said this time and again, even though she's only gone through the first stage of marriage, but the first stage of marriage is marriage. And if she now wants to leave this man, she has to get a divorce. In other words, it's marriage for all intent and purposes. Not all intent and purposes. In other words, second stage of marriage brings about it the fact that they live together as husband and wife, the fact that he has the financial responsibilities and obligations to her, but still. If she's going to walk away from this, you need a divorce. So nisgarsha baba yom. So if you have a gerushin, nisarsa baba yom. And now let's say she gets mureses again that very day, and then the Mishnah, just to make a point, not because this is going to really play itself out. Afilu leman. Now let's say this repeats itself 100 times today. Now just to understand, right, repeating itself 100 times today, meaning, right, she marries a man, again, she's an Ara. She marries a man through Eris, and he dies. She marries a second man that day, he dies. And this could repeat itself 100 times over the course of one day. So, but here, let's get to the Chiddush of the Mishnah. Avia ubala ha'acharon mefira nedareha. Her father, together with her husband, can be made for her neder, can annul the neder. Okay. So in other words, the Mishnah is introducing us to a big chiddush, and that's the following. That, as long as she's still within the clock, and the Ran makes a big deal about this, and you got it, because it's hard to see it any other way, but remember, from the time that somebody's heard about the neder, so now you're on the clock, she's within now the 24-hour clock. Okay, we'll see later on the Masechta, by the way. I don't know if I brought this up yet. This is coming up later. The Torah says, B'yom Shamo, the day of hearing it. And we'll see later on, it's either the end of the day or it's 24 hours. Okay, either way. Wait, just give me 1 second. So as long as you're within the 24-hour period, even though this is not the same man that she married when she made the neder, this is a different man, it could be the second husband, it could be the third husband, it could be the 100th husband, as implausible as that is. Again, the Mishnah is just trying to provide for us a point. It doesn't have to be the same man that she made the neder. This man over here, her new Arus, together with her father, can be made for the neder. That's the Chiddush of the Mishnah. Yeah, Alex.
Why did they start and they call it Arusa? Her Arus, and then they talk about Baala, which means they went to Yisrael.
Well, right. In this context, Bala just simply means her Arus. You're right. The Mishnah is a little bit strange in interchanging the words, but Baal in this context means her Arus. That's right. But you're right though. It's an interesting choice of words.
Is the Kiddush here because the husband husband didn't even hear the neder?
Yeah, well, this is not, in other words, this was not the husband. Let's say he heard it. No. The chiddush is that this was not the husband who quote-unquote owned the rights of the hafara, meaning without the Mishnah. Here's what we could have easily said. We could have easily said she made a neder while she was in an Ara Marasa, and she has dual jurisdiction. She's under the auspices of her father, and she's under the auspices of her husband. We could have very easily argued, good, they're now the proud owners of this hafara, this right of hafara. And what you could have argued very easily is that, okay, now if in the event that the husband dies, that's it. Meaning he had an ability to be made for, he's no longer here. Right, very good for her that she goes in and she marries another man, but when all is said and done, the second man that she married is not the one that was given the right to be Mefer. And so what the Chiddush here, the Mishnah is providing is that this second man basically is going to be given the right to be made for her neder, a neder that she did not make while being married to this man. A neder that she made being married to the previous man.
Okay. You seem to really answer the question I asked the other day regarding if a father offers the neder and then two or three days later, it has to be two or three days later, the husband here, it seems like it has to be within 24 hours, based on this.
Well, again, if the father was made for the neder, so it gets a little more complicated. If he wasn't made for the neder, then it's very uncomplicated. We talked about this. If he wasn't made for the neder, then it's very uncomplicated because then there's kiyum,
right.
Meaning either he was mekayim or 24 hours have come and gone,
right.
And that's a de facto kiyum. And so then there's nothing to talk about. Right, but if the father was made for the neder and then he died,
not that. If he made for it, the husband has to do made for it the same day.
Correct.
Sundays, right?
Correct. That's what it would seem to be. Okay.
Like there's no internet.
Correct. So Mefir Nedera Zehaklal Kosher Lo Yatzel Rishos Atzma Sha'achas Avio Bala Achra Mefir Nedera. And the Mishnah says, and again, let's just summarize the basic rule: as long as she has not entered into her own domain, not for one moment, so her father together with her husband can be made for her neder, can be can annul the neder. So that means to say as follows, meaning what the Mishnah's point is, says Iran, basically to be understood the following way. Meaning, what does that mean that she's on her own? So again, one of two things could happen that would cause her to be on her own. Either number one, she becomes a Bulgaris. If she becomes a Bulgaris, that's it. She's now cut off from the father. Father no longer has a domain over her. And so therefore, the father no longer can be made for the neder. Or Nisuin. Or she goes through the second stage of marriage with any one of these men. Her first, her second, her third arus, doesn't matter. If with any one of these arusins, or arusas, or arusas. Okay, sorry, I'm I don't know why I'm struggling so hard to pluralize the arus, but okay, either way, arus. Okay, whatever. Let's move on. So let's progress. So if she goes to the second stage of marriage with any one of these men, so that too also will cut her off from the father, and then this discussion no longer becomes a discussion. The only way that this Mishnah could be applicable is only going to be under circumstance where father still has rights over her, and that's only going to be where she is still within the stage of either being a Ketana or Nara. Let's assume Nara. And number two is that she doesn't have Nisuin with any one of these men. Good. Adkan Divrei HaMishnah. So the Mishnah has now provided for us a Chiddush. We start with the Gemara. Minalan Da'aras Achra Mefer Nedarav Shenira Laras Rishon. So the Gemara asks a really simple question. How do you know this? It really does represent a Chiddush. Because again, without the Mishnah, it could have easily argued that a neder that was made while she was married to her first arus, he and only he, meaning, remember, it's joint jurisdiction. So it has to be the husband together with her father. But you could have easily argued that it's only this husband, not another husband, that could be made for her neder. Not this neder that she made under the first husband. And meanwhile, the Chiddush of the Mishnah is, no, that's not true. If the first husband dies and then she marries another man, so then the second man can be made for her neder, even though it was a pre-existing neder. So Shmuel says it's based on the pasuk v'im hayosi eleish unedera aleha. So the Torah says that im hayosi, yeah, the double language. So nedarim shahayu ala kvar. So those are only referring to nedarim that already were upon her. Meaning, even though she has now entered into a second marriage, hayo sihiya, she was married, she was married. So now she enters into a second marriage, and even though within her second marriage, she comes into the second marriage with pre-existing nedarim, nevertheless, the second husband can be made for the neder. So, dimahani milishal nir la avos rishon. And the Gemara says, and maybe I might have thought that those are only talking about nedarim that did not exist while she was married to the avos rishon. Avon nedarim shenir la avos rishon la masi mefer. But the havamina would have been that any neder that she made while being married to her first avos is not transferred over to the second arus, arus achron, aleha kra yaserahu. So the Gemara says that the word aleha kra yaserah, it's an additional pasuk. It's coming to teach us that even if it's a pre-existing neder, it's the second husband who can also be made for the neder. Now, just to be clear about this point, we mentioned this before, but let's try to be as clear as possible. If she enters into a marriage, both first and second stage, right? Erusin and then Nisuin. Okay, so with that Nisuin, a couple things happen. As we already pointed out, she's cut off from the father, meaning she's no longer under the jurisdiction of the father. Good. As we pointed out before. The husband now has the ability to be made for her neder. Also, that we knew already. The husband cannot be made for her nedarim of pre-existing conditions. Meaning, the husband's ability to be made for the neder only can be for nedarim that she makes from this point going forward. If she entered into the marriage with pre-existing nedarim, so the husband cannot be made for that neder. In other words, the husband cannot be made for bekodmim. It's a general rule. Husband cannot be made for pre-existing nedarim. Good. So, really what we have to digest over here, just in terms of what we're learning together now, is that that rule is only true when it comes to Nisuin, the second stage of marriage. It's not true regarding Erusin. Haraya, what we just learned together in the Gemara. Meaning, what did we just see? That she made a neder while she was with her first Arus. He died. Okay, it's unfortunate. Okay, they went to the funeral, and then later that day she gets married again. Okay, I understand. Not implausible, but we're just trying to make a point. So then she gets married again that very day. Now she had a neder that she made with her first husband. The second husband now could be made for that neder. That's exactly what the Mishnah just taught us. Let's ask the obvious question. Yeah, but that's a pre-existing neder. She didn't make that neder while under the jurisdiction of the second guy. She made it under the first guy. So the obvious conclusion must be that, yeah, an arus together with his father can be made for pre-existing nedarim. And I guess in terms of just digesting and understanding why that should be, meaning we know in general that a husband cannot be made for pre-existing nedarim, so why can the second arus do so? So again, we'll go back to a point that we made earlier, but it seems to be that, again, it's just we're digesting all this again and again. Because when an arus and her father have the ability to be made for nedarim, so how do we view them? Remember, I give an analogy. I don't know how great this analogy is, but basically the father is the senior partner and the husband, the arus, I should say, is the junior partner. And so basically now, as a junior partner, and we'll talk more about this later this morning as well, as a junior partner, so if he dies and then a new junior partner comes on board, so remember, I mean, I'm giving him a name, I'm calling him the junior partner. But really the truth of the matter is that her neder is really rooted in the senior partner, meaning her father. So her arus to be made for the neder, but if he dies and she marries somebody else that very day, so the second arus can also be made for the neder. It's a pre-existing neder, and in general, husbands cannot release a woman from pre-existing nedarim. But over here, it's not the husband who's releasing her, it's the husband in conjunction with the father. And remember, the father's really the senior partner. So really, this neder is more shayach, if you will, more connected, more related to the father. So it's the father, it just happens to be that, as a clause, as a condition, the father needs the arus together with himself to be made for the neder. But really, in actuality, the neder is really grounded within the father and together with the arus, even though it's not the same arus, even though it's a new arus, it's the second. It could be the third, it could be the 100th, as the Mishnah pointed out. But this arus is also going to be needed to release her from the neder, but he's not really representing like a main, you know, a his vote is needed, but it's not. And it's critical, but it's not really grounded within him. If that makes sense, okay. Tanya Kavasi Shmuel, the Gemara is going to support Shmuel's position. So a father together with the husband can be made for a neder. Ketsa, this Brisa says, let us demonstrate how this plays out. Shama avia vehefer la. Let's say the father hears a neder, and the father then is made for the neder. V'lo hisbik abal l'shma shemes. And the husband hasn't had an opportunity to hear it. And then he dies. Vinis arsa babayom, meaning the husband dies, and then she does erusin again together that day. V'afilu me'apamim, and this can repeat itself 100 times. Again, we're just making a point over here. It's unlikely this will happen. Avia ubala ha'acharon mefirin nedareha. So the father together with the bala acharon, together with the last husband, is going to be made for a neder. Good, exactly what Shmuel said. Meaning that despite the fact that she made the neder while being married to the first Arus, and it's true that in order for the neder to be mufar, in order to be annulled, you need a combination of her father together with the first Arus, but if he dies, and then the second, third, fourth, fifth, even the 100th Arus comes along that very day, so he has taken the place, the role of the first husband, right? The Ron's language is he's kare the Arus Rishon. He's like an extension of the first Arus, and together him together with the father can be made for the neder. All right. Shama bala veheferla. Let's say the husband hears the neder. Okay, so we'll start off with the same scenario where she is married. She's an Ara Marasa, first stage of marriage with a man, but she's still an Ara, so now she's under joint jurisdiction, and she makes the neder, and her husband hears it, and he's made for the neder, the husband. And then dad has not had an opportunity to hear the neder, and then the husband dies. In this was the circumstance. So now the father, on his own, could be made for the neder. He'll be made for his chelek, and he'll be made for the chelek also of his late son-in-law. So Rabbi Nassan says that what we just learned together, this last clause over here, is the opinion of Beis Shammai. But Beis Hillel disagrees and says no, that the father cannot be made for. And let's just read the Gemara first, and then afterwards we're going to explain. B'mai pligi, the Gemara says, what is the subject of the machlokis between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel? Beis Shammai sarvei nedarim nami shirai la'arus nisrokten v'shos la'av. According to Beis Shammai, nedarim that were fit for the arus, his hafara is transferred back to the father. Umegas gayis, because the way Beis Shammai views the relationship between father and son, it's basically 50-50 partnership of the neder. And Beis Hillel's of the opinion that no, the father together with her husband, now her late husband is no longer alive, so there's got to be a replacement husband. The second, third, whatever. There has to be a replacement husband. Only the father, together with the Bala Achron, with the most recent Baal, can be made for her neder, because lo make his guys, because Beis Hillel does not view it as Hagaza, as a 50% ownership. Okay. And let's now explain everything we just read within the Gemara. Let's do it within the through the comment of the Ron. Again, let me just quickly summarize the 2 points that we learned together in this Brisa, and then set ourselves up for the Ron's explanation. Okay? In point number one in the Brisa, or I should say better, in case number one in the Brisa, what happened was, is that she's an Ara Marasa, under joint jurisdiction, she makes an Eder, and the father's reaction was, when he hears it, he's going to be made for the Eder, and the son didn't, her husband, her son-in-law, her husband had not yet had an opportunity to hear the neder. And in case number one in the Brisa, he dies. So, and she gets re-betrothed that day. And even if this were to repeat itself 100 different times, the father together with her son-in-law could be made for the neder. Okay, that's case number one of the Brisa, good. And then case number two in the Brisa goes like this. Case number two on the Braisa is against same starting point. She's an Aram Rasa. She makes a neder, and the first one who hears it is her husband. And her husband's response is he's made for the neder. And then the husband dies. The Braisa says that now all that's left is the father and his vote. And the Braisa says the father on his own can vote. And with a vote of Hafara, her neder now is going to be annulled. Then the Gemara commented that this last point that we just made is only going according to Beis Shammai, but this last point over here, Beis Hillel would not agree with, because Beis Shammai views the partnership as 50-50, and Beis Hillel does not view the partnership as 50-50, but rather as Miklash Kalash. Now that I said over the Gemara once again, okay, it gives us a chance to digest it, and now let's see the Ron's explanation. The Ron, we're going to start with the Ron. He starts on the on the bottom of Ayin Aleph Amud Aleph. Okay, I'm just looking for where I'm going to be starting reading. Okay, below Aris Va'Amrinam B'Mai Kamifli. I'm going to start three lines from the bottom in the Ron. Now it's going to this is going to get a little bit tricky. This is going to be, well, so to say, the difficult part of today's daf. But hopefully, I'll be clear in my explanation. And if you pay attention, and I pay attention, I think we could do this. So the Amrina b'may kemiflgi b'sham etzavr b'nedarim nami shiniru la'aruz nitzrok nevashos ha'av v'mishum hachi. So the this is now the Ron just repeating the Gemara's point, and that is that the husband's ability of afara gets transferred over to the father. And kevin delagabe hai neder arus achron command delay sadami kudem afarsh besamach av mati mefer delo tema. I shouldn't have started over here. Nehid arus achron command delay sadami miokin esrok nevershot arus rishon lav dafka medam shalom niru arus aval niru delo leisa elafil niru lo nami nisrok. Okay, I started too early. Okay, I'm sorry. Let's start at the top of the next page, Megas Gaius. Okay. So, Megas Gaius, here we... I'm sorry, I should have started from over here. Okay. Lo Ivanzi Divrei Ev Rishon and Bazem. So the Ron admits now, I've heard a lot of explanations of the Gemara, and Amai Matli Mefer Av L'chudei L'Beit Shammai. In other words, what our objective right now is to explain is Beit Shammai's viewpoint. Beit Shammai says that in the scenario where she made a neder, the first one to hear it is the husband, he was made for the neder, then he died. So Beit Shammai says now the father on his own can be made for the neder, even though his son-in-law is now no longer with us. Okay, good. So now, the Gemara said that this is the viewpoint of Beit Shammai. Beis Hillel would not agree with this viewpoint. And now all we need to do, it's not a small task, is we need to explain this. Meaning, why according to Beit Shammai, the father on his own can be made for the neder, and why would Beis Hillel disagree with that point? So the Ron admits that he heard a lot of explanations regarding all this, and he says, I tell you the truth, I really struggle with the explanations that I've heard. Okay, and this is a popular theme that the Ron has throughout this Masechta, especially some of the more difficult points that the Gemara has made, like this one right over here. And the Ron admits that he knows other people's explanations and other Rishonim, not just anyone, and yet he says I'm offering. Now it's either his own or he heard this from his Rebbeim. Okay, however he arrived at this. Da'amrina megas gaius fami Beis Hillel. Da'amrina, I'm sorry. Amai mati mei for avlechu dele Beis Shammai. Da'amrina megas gaius fami Beis Hillel. Da'amrina miklash kalish. Meaning, why should it be that Beis Shammai's viewpoint of megas gaius have anything to do with the point of the Gemara over here? But oh, da'afil amar megas gaius mikom akom michi mayis lebal tarve legaziza da'atanya bebreisa del el. The Ron says, do you remember the Gemara that we did just a short couple of days ago, back on Samaches Amud Beis, Shama Avia Vehefer Law, where if the father heard the neder and the father registered a vote of annulment, V'lo Hizbek Abal Lishma Shemesa Av, and remember the father died, Zui Shishanin Omesa Av, Lo Nitzrak Nevesho Sabal. Remember, we said earlier, according to everybody, under those circumstances, a husband cannot be made for the neder because you need the joint venture of the two of them. V'im Isa Dafar Da'av Kedekai Mekaima Amai Lo Matzi Mefer Baal La'achem Isa Sa'av Denehi Delon Srok Lo Rosho Sa'av Afil Hachi Av Gai's Delay Baal Gai's Delay. So, and according to Beit Shammai, well, let's just simply say that each one of them has a 50% share of the Hafara, and the dad was made for his 50%, and then even though he died, let's say that the son was made for his 50%. Ella, my islach lemeimer the nehida megas guys afil hachi ki my isla yishtakla gezize diday. So what we had said previously, and what we're repeating now again is as follows. Yes, even when you view it as a 50-50, I still need both. Meaning, if Dad had a 50% share and Dad died, and even though before he died he registered his vote of hafara. Okay, but unfortunately he's no longer here. And therefore, his vote he voted, but unfortunately he took his vote with him. And so we said that we made this point earlier. So therefore, even though now he voted, still the hafar is not going to work because you need the combination of the two, even under the premise of Megas Gaius. V'achinami maishna. And so over here says Aran, now you're only left scratching your head and wondering. So in our scenario, in our Gemara, so it's the husband who died. Now he did get a vote of hafar before he died, but the Ran basically says, and so what? Meaning, doesn't he die? Doesn't he take his vote with him? And how can the father now on his own, left now alone with his daughter, how can he do the remaining 50% of the hafara? Good. Ron sets us up beautifully now. We need an explanation to understand our Gemara. Okay, venerally. So the Ron says, so I think it all goes like this. Okay, if you want to follow with me in the Ron, I mean, I've been reading in the Ron, but if you want to now follow me, it's the second wide line in the Ron. It's the beginning of the line. So the Ron says, I think it's to be understood in the following. According to Beit Shammai, now again, Beit Shammai works with the position of Megas Gaius, which means, again, 50% ownership for each partner, for the father and for the husband. So, the way you're going to view it is as follows. When the husband, not the father, when the husband registered his vote of hafara, so at that point in time, remember, this is my terminology. Now, the Ron doesn't use this terminology, but I think it helps understanding. The husband is a junior partner. He votes 50%. He votes hafara. So the Ron says, okay, he's done. Meaning, not only did he have a vote, but after he voted, basically, thank you very much.
Registered.
Right, registered, and basically now you're out of the picture. In other words, we needed that vote, but now that he voted, it's done. Hare Maisa Shalom Nigmar. His action is done. The istalik le aris legamre. And basically, for our intent and purposes, meaning from the purpose of Hafara, he's out of the picture. Unehi dechi meis aris batla la Hafara, delay. And it's true that when he dies, his vote dies with him. But miu mikamen de istalik le aris mehacha. But remember, though, once he voted, that removes him from the whole equation. Sulo chazi hai nidra la'aris klal. And therefore, it has no connection to him whatsoever. So, kam le'av bela aris. That is how now the father on his own can be made for the balance of the neder. Okay. V'ha pashin la'el d'chol hecha d'leika aris av mefer d'mekish kod me'havai shnila kod me'havai rishona. Ava be'ahi d'la'el d'shama avia v'hefer la'a. I feel Amar Dlamand Arme Megas Gaius Istal Geav. I feel Hachi Kimeis Bala Le Hafar Delay Vekam Le Arus Lechude Below Av Velo Mati Mefer Hainu Tame De Beishame De Amin De Av Mati Mefer Hacha Below Arus Acheron. So the Ran again. I didn't translate every word, but the Ran basically says that's how the opinion of Beit Shammai works. The position of Beit Shammai is that the husband. His vote is, he's a 50% shareholder in the neder. But again, my terminology, he's a junior partner. And what that means practically is that when he starts off with his vote of hafara, so good. He voted, and which basically now removes himself from the discussion. Good. Now I still need the father to vote hafara, otherwise we don't have a hafara. But the father now could do it. He needed the son to vote hafara. But once the son-in-law did it, that's it. He's out of the equation. So much to the point, says Iran, that even if the son-in-law were to die afterwards, the father still now has whatever remaining hafara it needs to be done, he could do on his own, even without his son-in-law. So says Iran, an explanation of Beis Shammai's viewpoint. Now let's move over to Beis Hillel's viewpoint. How is Beis Hillel's viewpoint going to work? Remember, according to Beis Hillel, how did he view the combination? Not as 50% ownership, but rather as Miklash Kalash. Which means that the first one weakens, and the second one is going to totally annihilate it. Okay. Now, says the Ran, according to Beis Hillel, Elakuli Nidrahu de Iklesh. When the first one attacks the neder, they're not attacking half the neder. They're weakening the entire neder. Uklishu say live maise gamor hu. Now that weakening is not by itself an independent act. Umishim hachilo chaya klal ad dimitzarif leklishas deidach. And then only with a compounded second hafara, then and only then, is her neder going to be broken. So in other words, according to Beis Hillel, who subscribes not to the principle of Megas Gaius, but rather to the Miklash Kalish, so according to Beis Hillel, you need the combination of the two. The first one by itself is not an independent act. It is only in conjunction with the second that the neder is going to be Mufar. Hilkach, therefore, says the Ran, Kozman Shalo Hefer Av, Lo Istalek Le Aros Mehai Nidra. So as long as the Aros put in his Afara, he still needed. And if he dies, the father on his own can no longer be made for the Neder. But even according to Beis Hillel, here's where it gets interesting.
Yeah.
And that is that even though the first husband is gone and the husband and the father by himself can't do it, the first husband's replaceable. Right? It's a terrible thought, but we're all replaceable. I've said this before. I really do feel this way. Right? I'm going away next week. Someone else will give the daf. Okay? Right, he's not going to be as good. Trust me, he'll be as good. Probably be even better. We're all replaceable. So that here, according to Beis Hillel, so it's true. When the husband dies, the father on his own can't do anything. Because remember, Beis Hillel says, Miklash Kalish. It's only through a combination of the two. So therefore, Mishum, Zachibe, Aris Acheron. So what's going to now happen, according to Beis Hillel, is that the father on his own cannot be made for the neder. But if she marries within that day, and again, remember, that's an important clause. Within that day, she marries another guy. So then, within that day, now you can have a combination between the father and the new Arus to be made for her neder. Okay, yeah, Danny. I'm sorry, and just to finish reading, Zehu Mashinira Be'inai. So the Ran says, I think that's the correct shot in terms of understanding the Gemara here. Yes?
So even according to the Beis Hillel, right, the first neder, the first hafara that was made, is supposed to be weakened.
Right.
And he dies. So the neder is no longer weakened now?
Correct. In other words, it needed a combo. It needed a combination punch.
He dies, so it's
not going to do it. So, but even according to Beis Hillel, what could happen now is that she could take on a new Arus.
And then he can weaken.
And then he can weaken it together. And together with the father now, the two can be made for the neder.
If there was no new Arus, it cannot be done.
Right, correct. Correct.
Beis Shammai says it can be done.
And Beis Shammai, again, because according to Beis Shammai, again, with the Ran's explanation, according to Beis Shammai, when the husband did his hafara, that was an act in of itself. Meaning, because remember, the way he viewed it is 50% ownership on each partner. And so when the Arus went ahead and did his 50, so that's it, he did an independent act by itself. The complication in this explanation is that, according to Beis Shammai, it doesn't work the other way. Meaning that when the father is made for his 50% and he dies, the husband on his own can't be made for. But again, that's based on what I would call senior partner, junior partner.
The difference, I think, is that Beis Shammai is also registered, but the dealer is not registered.
Right, could very well be. Okay, Adkan, that's the Gemara in a nutshell. Let's start the next sugya. We have a little bit of time. I'm just gonna introduce the next sugya, and again, just so much to think about. Really, like a small amount of Gemara, just a lot of big ideas. And much to chew on. Ibailahu Gerishin Kishtika Dami Obeha Kamadami. Let's set ourselves up to understand what's happening over here. Again, we're talking about the Nara Marasa. We're always talking about the Nara Marasa because, again, that's where the most complication slash interest comes in, because she's now under joint jurisdiction. So she makes a, she's a Nara Marasa. She has a father who, and her husband, and the, between the two of them, she can be made for her neder. She makes a neder that day. Okay, the day that it starts off bad and gets worse. She makes a neder that day, and the husband hears a neder, and he's like, "This is not what I want. This is not what I wanted to get into. I did not want a wife who's going to make nedarim." So he divorces her, but he doesn't say anything. He doesn't say hakama. He doesn't say hafara. He says nothing. He just simply divorces her.
Because of the nedarim.
But it seems pretty clear, though. However, the context has told us that he divorced her because of the neder, and so now the question on the table goes as follows: he divorced her. And it seems, again, just from the contextual clues, it seems that that was a reaction to the fact that she made a neder. And so the question that we lay on the table is the following. How do we view that gerushin? Was he now, with that gerushin, with that divorce, was he confirming her neder? Or was he just simply shtika? Was he just simply quiet? Now, l'may nafkamin, the Gemara says, now how is this going to play out practically? Kagon. Shenadra, so let's say she makes a neder. Ushama bala, and the husband hears it, v'girsha, and he divorces her. V'ahadre b'yume. And then, that very day, he says, you know what? I was too rash. I was too quick. I'll take her back. Right? Mapsa grushaso, mitzvah in the Torah. Right? Strange mitzvah. But the mitzvah in the Torah, I've seen it once in my lifetime. If you want to know just how life works, it didn't work out the second time either. But the one time that I saw it, it's an anecdote. It doesn't mean anything. But so Machzir Grusha. So now, by the way, everyone know that if she marries another man in the interim, so then the original husband cannot take her back. In fact, it's a serious issue in the Torah. Okay, that's Machzir Grusha. So Achr Sheni says. Okay, just as I mentioned as a parenthetical note. Anyway, so he then divorces her and then he takes her back. Be'ahadra b'yuma. So now, i'amar kishtika dami masi meferla. So now, if his divorcing of her is nothing more than just simply silence, meaning that the act of divorce was not a confirmation of the neder, but just simply silence, so then later that day when he remarries her, so now he has an opportunity to be made for the neder. And then, the mati mefer la, v'amar marka kama dame, however, if the act of divorce was really nothing more than just simply a confirmation of the neder. You made a neder, I'm not having any of that. I'm divorcing you. And that divorce is basically a registered vote of I'm confirming the neder. So Lom wants to be made for law, so then he can't be made for the neder. Now let's do the round today, and tomorrow we'll come back, because really tomorrow's daf, the first half of tomorrow's daf is going to be a response to this question. But let's end off today with the round, and the round says, keep in mind, we have to be talking about a Nara Marasa. The Ron says, I'm gonna make my case. Look at the last Ron on this page. Hi Bala Dekamri Arus Dafkahu. Husband over here, and Alex, this addresses an issue you raised earlier, that the word Bala can mean husband of Nisuin or husband of Erison. Here it has to mean Erison. And the Ron says, and I'm telling you it has to be. Why? Deeb Nisuwa Filotim Salama Degerishin Kishtika Damia. Because if, let's say, during the first round of marriage, they were fully married, meaning first and second stage of marriage. So then, heichamatzi mefer. So the Gemara. So now, the Ron points out. Okay, they get a divorce, and then he marries her again. He can't be made for her neder. E b'shechaz v'nisays ein abal mefer b'kodmim. Again, a rule that we went over before. Right. In other words, when you marry a woman, you cannot be made for pre-existing nedarim. This is pre-existing nedarim. And what are you going to tell me? Okay, only when you're fully married you can't annul previous nedarim. Fine. So maybe in the first go around they were fully married, and here in the second go around they only went through erusin. So the Ron points out, that's also not going to work over here. Because remember, a partnership only works when dad's in the picture. If in the first round they were fully married, dad has been cut out of the picture. So afilu tim salamer kishtiga dami lomati mefer elavade ba'arusa askina. So therefore the Ron says, the only way this case is going to work is only going to be where you had Erusin in round number one. Again, she made a neder, he divorced her. And Erusin in round number two. So again, the only question now left on the table is, in theory, he could be made for the neder in conjunction with his father-in-law. The only problem now is how do we view that get? Was the delivery of the get basically a confirmation of, I did not like that neder? You know what? You keep that neder. I'm affirming that neder, and I want no part of you. That's one way to view it. Or no, maybe just the giving of the get was just simply shtika. It was just simply silence. It's not a vote in favor of the neder. It's against the neder.
But that's confirmation also of shtika.
Only after 24 hours. It's as if he said nothing, and then if in the event that he takes her back later that day, so then he can be made for the neder. Okay, tomorrow what we're going to be doing for the first half of tomorrow's daf is seeking to prove whether or not yes or no in the second go around he in fact can be made for the neder. How to view the divorce? Okay, let's quickly recap today. Today's daf was dedicated to the topic of the fact that if she marries a second, third, fourth arus, all within that same day that she made the neder, and she's in the stage of nara marasa, she together with her, I'm sorry, he, the new arus, together with her father-in-law, have the ability to be made for the neder, even a neder that she made during the first during her first husband. Her first arus. The Gemara cited first a pasuk that it gives us a source for this halacha that was given to us by Shmuel, and then the Gemara pointed out that in the event that the arus hears about the neder and then he dies, and before he dies he was made for the neder and then he dies, so the father on his own can be made for the neder. But the Gemara points out this only works according to the opinion of Beis Shammai, because he subscribes to the opinion of Megas Gaius. However, according to Beis Hillel, this would not work out, because Beis Hillel subscribes to the position of Miklos Kalish. We spent a good part of today, a large portion of today, going through the Ron's explanation of how do the respective shitas of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel play a role in this discussion. So we went through the Ron today. I'm not going to go over that right now, but go over the Ron to understand that point. And then finally, the Gemara asked a question today, which we're going to answer tomorrow, and that is that given that if a man divorces his wife because she made a neder, how do you view that divorce? Either you view the divorce as a confirmation of the neder, or no, the divorce is just simply not necessarily a response to the neder, just simply he just wants out, and therefore shtika nafkamina would be if he takes her back later that day as a wife, would he have the ability to be made for the neder later that day? The Gemara raises a question. Tomorrow we respond.